Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Back to Basics. We are doing another Footloose and Fancy Free episode here today. You can tell by the fact that I'm still all happy and dressed up that we are recording these all in one big batch, as usual. And so today, which is now 1 week since you've last seen us, we are going to be continuing Joseph's story once again on into Genesis 42. And for that conversation, for those of you who are tuning in to watch your very first episode of Back to Basics on the 42nd chapter of Genesis for some goddamn reason, I am Wait. Pastor Don.
Stop it.
Hey, it's a choice.
Cutting him off before he has the chance to introduce me like he usually does, I am Courtney Fraley.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you beat me to the punch because you didn't want me to shower you with compliments?
No, because I don't want you to berate people who just got a random video suggested to them and checked it out like 42 chapters into Genesis.
I'm not berating anybody. If you came in here on the 42nd chapter of Genesis, it's a weird choice, but I'm weird and I like it. I'm affirming your unique choice to start a series on Genesis on the 42nd chapter. It's the same thing I would do. Who needs this creation nonsense? Tell me what's happening in the middle of the Joseph story. I want to hear that. I'd be all for that.
I won't lie to you. It has gotten more interesting recently. I'm like, oh, this is where they pull all the Sunday school stories from. There's like more cohesive story going on.
So basically the subtext for this chunk of episodes is basically, here's everything they didn't tell you in Sunday school. Like Joseph had a wife and two sons in Egypt who never show up in Sunday school when we're too busy making crafts and whatnot.
By the daughter of a priest of another religion. And God didn't have a problem with that.
Nope, not a single complaint was had by the Almighty about Joseph straight up continuing the line of Israel through the priest of On.
God, no fucks were given for the giving of fucks.
Not a single bother was given that day.
I'm sorry, are we still in the first minute?
Yeah, more or less.
Bleep that out then, please.
That's fine. If you haven't figured it out by now, we swear constantly in these damn things.
God doesn't care if you swear, but the algorithm does.
In fairness, I threw out a swear word long before you did in the opening, so I think we're good.
That's true, you did.
So, but I'm wearing a clergy collar while I do, which confuses the algorithm, so I think we're fine.
Oh, it must be scripture if he's swearing.
Yeah, like if you're wearing a clergy collar and you say the words God and damn, both of those appear in the Bible together, it's fine. Anyway, we're bordering on both irreverence and algorithm breaking, which I think is a hell of a combination. So let's go ahead and read the actual scripture. We are into Genesis. God, that's the word. I feel like that freaking guy in the bar in Star Trek 3. Genesis allowed.
Anyway, Don's going to have to read this one, despite the fact that he's tripping over his tongue, because I am getting over some kind of cold or something, and I'm fine as long as I don't push it too much. So you will be spared from the quantity, if not the quality, of my voluminous Michigan-tinted expulsions.
That being said, I'm going to dive into Genesis chapter 42 here. I am going to actually read this time from the NRSVUE and not from Alter's commentary for one main reason. Alter's commentary translation, like just about any legitimate translation of the Bible, doesn't really have any of these section headings by which we're breaking shit up. So I wouldn't exactly know at a glance where to stop. And that's, you know, again, the section headings like Joseph's brothers go to Egypt aren't actually from the Bible, but they're useful breakups, particularly if you're doing episodes that see multiple parts of one particular chapter. So we are starting with Genesis chapter 42, Joseph's brothers go to Egypt. Let's read along, shall we? When Jacob learned that there was grain in Egypt, he said to his sons, "Why do you keep looking at each other? I've heard," he said, "that there is grain in Egypt. Go down and buy grain for us there, that we may live and not die." So 10 of Joseph's brothers went down to buy grain in Egypt. But Jacob did not send Joseph's brother Benjamin with his brothers, for he feared that harm might come to him. Thus the sons of Israel were among the people who came to buy grain, for the famine had reached the land of Canaan. Now Joseph was governor over the land. It was he who sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed themselves before him with their faces to the ground. When Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them, but he treated them like strangers and spoke harshly to them. "Where do you come from?" he said. They said, "From the land of Canaan, to buy food." Although Joseph had recognized his brothers, they did not recognize him. Joseph also remembered the dreams that he had dreamed about them. He said to them, "You are spies. You have come to see the nakedness of the land." They said to him, "No, my lord, your servants have come to buy food. We are all sons of one man. We are honest men. Your servants have never been spies." But he said to them, "No, you have come to see the nakedness of the land." They said, "We are your servants. We, your servants, are 12 brothers, the sons of a certain man in the land of Canaan. The youngest, however, is now with our father, and one is no more." But Joseph said to them, "It is just as I've said to you, you are spies. Here is how you shall be tested. As Pharaoh lives, you shall not leave this place unless your youngest brother comes here. Let one of you go and bring your brother, while the rest of you remain in prison, in order that your words may be tested, whether there is truth in you, or else, as Pharaoh lives, surely you are spies." And he put them all together in prison for 3 days. You know, like a good brother. On the third day, Joseph said to them, "Do this and you will live, for I fear God. If you are honest men, let one of your brothers stay here where you are in prison. The rest of you shall go and carry grain for the famine of your households, and bring your youngest brother to me. Thus your words will be verified, and you shall not die." And they agreed to do so. They said to one another, "Alas, we are paying the penalty for what we did to our brother. We saw his anguish when he pleaded with us, but we would not listen. That is why this anguish has come upon us." Then Reuben answered, "Did I not tell you not to wrong the boy? But you would not listen. So now there comes a reckoning for his blood." They did not know that Joseph understood them, since he spoke with them through an interpreter. He turned away from them and wept. Then he returned and spoke to them, and he picked out Simeon and had him bound before their eyes. Joseph then gave orders to fill their bags with grain, to return every man's money to his sack, and to give them provisions for the journey. This was done for them. So that's where we're going to stop for today, and we're going to continue in our next episode with Joseph's brothers returning to Canaan along the way, which is a whole
different thing. So does God endorse pettiness?
Well, I'm not going to say one way or the other.
That was a long pause from you.
You know, certainly in this passage, God does seem to have an overarching plan here, and it's kind of giving Joseph free reign to be as petty as he fucking wants. And Joseph is living into that with all of the drama queen nature you'd expect from somebody in the center of God's story. Is it the right thing to do? Well, look, we all know that
it's definitely
the sibling thing to do. Like, I am seeing my children in this, to say nothing of my relationship with my own sisters. But, like, look, on the one hand, this is God's story playing out the way it's supposed to play out. On the other hand, we have been very clear, Abraham, about how biblical heroes aren't always good guys in what they're doing here. I would say that Joseph is being unnecessarily a bit of a dick, not necessarily unwarranted. He's certainly having fun with it. In the end, Does it do any real lasting harm? Maybe not. It does serve to drive the lesson home, though, which I think is Joseph's intent here.
It seems very unchristlike, I'm just going to say.
Yeah, but we're still several thousand years before Christ, so. Yeah, it is.
Is God unchanging? See, I have to grill you on weird stuff because the story tells itself.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. And again, I stand by what I said, like, yeah, Joseph probably wasn't in the right in doing this. It's certainly understandable, certainly very human. And
maybe God was willing to let it slide because of how.
Yeah, it serves a clear purpose, too. Like, we are definitely teaching the brothers a lesson here. And there's an interesting pivot here in the middle where Joseph kind of changes his mind a little and sends them back with grain. There's a realization that's happening with Joseph halfway through where he's like, okay, yeah, maybe I was being too much of a petty dick here. All right. I'm doing a thing here. I'm doing a bit.
They did sell him.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's like, look, I'm doing a bit, but I don't want people to starve. Like, you do have your father and your younger brother and other people who are depending on you. So the rest of you can go. I'm going to keep this asshole here and I'm going to tie him up. So, like, come back with Benjamin, but I don't want everyone else to starve. Like, it's literally, I'm really just pissed at you assholes. Like he does check himself and kind of limit his pettiness a little bit after he changes course, which, by the way, is something we often don't do in modern kind of life. Like we commit to the bit and we stay with it for better or for worse. And like, credit where it's due. Joseph's like, ha ha, I am going to fuck all of you. And then he kind of goes like, really shouldn't. Like, okay, I'm still going to fuck with you, but maybe not that
walk bad. It back a little bit.
Right. Like, he's willing to walk it back a little bit, which we don't do all the time. And we really should. Like,
probably, yeah.
Should he have walked it back a little more? Maybe just tad. I think binding up the extra brother was maybe not necessary, but all right. Fair. Like, he walks it back. So that being said, what else do we got about this? What have you want to pick at here?
Oh God, I don't know. I don't know. There was something towards the beginning where I was like, why did Jacob keep Benjamin behind?
Let's see here.
He feared harm might come to him, it says in verse 4.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, Benjamin's the youngest brother too.
Yes.
And so I can think of a number of different situations where I would be hesitant to send.
Is he youngest where like he's like 12 or something? Because that would make sense too.
Unclear. But there is also a certain reverence that the youngest is held with, as well as the eldest in Hebrew cultures, well as most cultures as well. And like the situation here is complicated. Like, Jacob is sending out all of his sons to do hard work carrying shit that they're going to buy, but he's also like a nomadic hill folk sending people into the city. There's a certain distrust that happens there. Like, remember, they're in the land of Canaan. They're going into Egypt. Like, there are safety concerns. I can see holding back the youngest brother. One, because he's young, and two, because, look, if something happens to all the rest of you, the line does have to continue, and I'm getting old here. So we need a designated survivor.
You know, but keeping the eldest back would be like...
Well, I thought it was the youngest, but... No. But yeah, he keeps the youngest back. Because look, we need a designated survivor. And, you know, I really do see parallels to the American designated survivor rule here too, because he does pick the youngest, who is not the eldest. He sends all of the older, stronger, more quote unquote valuable ones into the city. He's like, look, just to be on the safe side, I got to keep one back, but it's the youngest one I'm going to keep back.
Yeah.
So real parallels to that there as well, I would say. It's also worth noting, I'm going to take this out of Alter's commentary here. This interplay between, like Joseph recognizing them and they not recognizing him. In the Hebrew, the words used here are all based on the same root. So there's some play on words that's happening there. And it also connects to the same root verb that is used when Jacob was called to recognize Joseph's blood-soaked tunic back in the day, or when Tamar asked Judah to recognize the tokens that he had left with her. So this sort of recognizing recognize / checkmate bitches is kind of what we're dealing with here. Anything else we want to poke at with this? We've ranted at it somewhat, but not for as long as we usually do.
Yeah. Just the level to which he's giving them shit is just kind of funny.
Yeah.
To me. Sorry, my computer's doing a thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, the level to which he goes after them is kind of wild, but at the same time, it is siblings. And also, like, they did sell him.
Yeah.
So.
And it's worth noting the almost theatricality of the language that Joseph is using here in two ways. One, his repeated reference to the land as naked. Like, that there is meant to be as graphic as a 12-year-old in English might suggest from that. Like, it's literally casting them as outsiders, as sexual violators of the land. Like, our land is naked and you have come into us, is kind of how he's presenting it. So, like, he's being both, like, overly dramatic and vaguely sexual and accusatory all in the same go. So like there are multiple levels at which he's linguistically bitch slapping here. And then we find out later on.
If he had a camera, he'd have been recording this.
Well, we find out later on that Joseph hasn't been speaking to them directly. He's been speaking through an interpreter this whole time, which means that as Joseph is delivering all of this, he's not speaking in Hebrew. He's speaking in Egyptian. So he's being this is what I find hilarious.
It's funny. It is funny.
And it's meant to be funny. Like,
is it really?
Yes, it is. Like, there are whole parts of the Bible that are meant to be, he's being a petty asshole, but also this is freaking hilarious. So we have Joseph here who is painting these creative ass idioms in Egyptian, knowing they're going to be translated to Hebrew. So he's painting them in such a way that, and I can tell you as someone who speaks multiple languages, it's hard as fuck. He's painting them in one language in such a way that they will translate accurately to the other language. Like, there's a whole handful of idioms that I could use in English that will never survive a translation to Japanese and vice versa. So he has to be very particular in his selection. So to get like this trinary allegory of nakedness in Egyptian and have it carry over into Hebrew is like an intellectual bitch slap on a level that you don't get very often. And it is one of those things where, like, in the days where people were hearing these as campfire stories, where people in those days, they would speak some Egyptian and they would speak Hebrew and they would speak Akkadian and a couple of other languages from the period. And they would be listening to this being like, oh, God damn, that was a hard move. Like, look at that. It's like the equivalent of watching someone pull off like some sort of crazy sports ball play.
Did you just throw in a reference to I thought it was Akkadian, but Akkadian culture?
Yes.
Like, my community college education comes knocking. I know what that is.
And I'm not at all going to say that I don't know Akkadian, because I know of Sargon of Akkad, who sounds like a Star Trek villain.
Right?
It's like, that sounds like an Armus. It sounds like you're really describing an Armus. But really all you're doing is bitching about old copper futures, but whatever. So... yeah,
always pop for a low-grade copper joke. It just, I don't know why it tickles me so much. It's
the oldest written record in history is somebody bitching about impure copper.
Like, I'm sure we've talked about it on the show before, because these stories are so old.
Yeah, like the only these are only older than like the old Akkadian records, simply because they were oral histories before they were written down. The written down aspects of this come long after, you know, the Akkadian Empire's passed.
The oldest thing we have in writing is a request to speak to your manager about the service name.
Oh, Karens are eternal.
Sorry, we should get back to where we're at.
No, that's pretty much it.
Pretty much the whole thing. This is what happened last chapter.
Yeah, like he's being a polyglot asshole here, and like not without reason, not irrationally, maybe not righteously to be sure, but and there's a turn in verse 24 though that I do want to kind of draw our attention to 23 and 24. Where we start to see the brothers expressing their regret, like, we shouldn't have did that shit to Joseph. Like, this is our secret that we're taking to the grave. And we're talking about it here in Hebrew because we know this fucking Egyptian doesn't understand.
And Reuben being like, I told you so.
Like, you motherfuckers, I told you. Like, I'm glad
that comes back around.
Yeah. Even though, like, as we talked about back in that episode, Reuben was and remains roped in together with the other brothers because he was milquetoast and didn't stand up to him and kind of went along with it, even though he protested. But I am glad that he at least gets his I told you so moment here, because he did tell them, look, but you guys, you should not do this. So he gets that. I'm glad he
didn't tell
that.
Them. He just immediately caved.
But also, like, this is a thing we don't talk about as much. Like, even when we're recounting this story in Sunday school, this is the moment we skip over, is where Joseph overheard them because they didn't realize he spoke Hebrew, and he overheard them being regretful, and he was moved to tears. Like, the continued existence of his love for his brothers and his brother's love for him, even through all of that, like the existence of that thread. When we talk about this in Sunday school, it goes, the brothers come, Joseph is a literal royal dick to them and sends them back looking for the little brother. And Joseph sits in his Egyptian house going, it'll be funny when they come back with Benjamin and Dad. I'm going to fuck everybody up. And that's the story. That's the scene. Like, that's how we talk about it in Sunday school. But this moment right here, which is the moment of the passage, we skip over completely. Like, the moment where Joseph is realizing that the love of his brothers for him and his love for his own brothers still endured a lifetime of captivity, an attempted murder, love endures still. That's the fucking message here. Okay, I've said my piece.
All right.
Anything else we want to pick at, or should we call it for today?
No, I think we're probably good on this one.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to get to the second half. We'll get to the second half of this in the next episode, where we're going to see Joseph's brothers return to Canaan. They're going to have words with
in part two.
That'll be part two. And this is, by the way, we're still not getting the brothers coming back to Egypt next time. That's still farther down yet, because this is a long ass story, as I may have indicated. But we're going to at least get their conversations with Jacob about what the just happened. And we're going to get that in our next episode. As usual, please come join us on Discord. That's where a lot of our church community exists and is talking about stuff and having all kinds of fun. We've got many events coming up. We got a Bible study every 2 weeks. So much stuff happening. And you can check it out on the website, which is linked below. And if you have questions about any of it, you can email me. I am easy as hell to contact. My website is pasted, or my email is pasted out there on the website and elsewhere far more often than is wise in this internet age, but you can still find it and send me shit. And I actually do check that, believe it or not. But most importantly, if you can do any one thing, it would be
like, share, and subscribe, and comment below.
Yeah, do those things, because please, they really do help us a lot. Like, just so much, y'all. Every single time someone shares one of these videos, it like doubles our view counts and puts us that much closer. And we get another Discord member or two. Like, it really helps.
Give to YouTube what is YouTube's.
Yes, it really does help our community grow the more you pass this stuff around. So please do. Otherwise, we will see you for part two of chapter 42 in the next episode of Back to Basics, which will be next week from your perspective. Bye.
Peace.